Maybe a nice white wall to look at too.
Better than my messy home desk behind me.
No, you're doing great.
How are you feeling, Frank? Are the symptoms bad?
So it's been interesting. I was bad on Monday. I was better on Tuesday. I was mediocre at best on Wednesday, and yesterday I was bad again, really bad. And then I woke up today, and I don't really want to say it out loud, but I seem to be feeling a little better. So I'm going to go with it for now. But
it came in waves for me too. So I understand completely.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I know, I think I shared with everybody that my son had it 3 weeks ago now, and I was ready for it then. I was like, okay, we're all gonna get it. let's get it done. And then none of the other three of us got it. And then my wife got it Thursday a week ago, and then Sunday I started feeling it come on. So
how are we doing for board members today?
We should Brandon. Have everybody but Chase, I believe, today. So okay. Let's see. I see.
Samuel. How are you, sir?
I'm here.
I recognize two new names here, Kelly and Samuel. How are you guys?
I'm doing great, Gary. How are you?
Doing fine. Look forward to meeting you in person and working on solving some of the worst world's problems here.
One day. Last time I had COVID, and then this time Frank had COVID.
Oh, no, I get it. I think last time I was having heart surgery, so I can relate to it. It's awful getting old, isn't it? All the parts fall off, everything's out of warranty, and what are you going to do? All right, we're getting ready to crank forward. So the agenda is not going to pop up on this screen, so we'll have to pull up on a different screen. Is that true, Frank?
Correct.
Okay.
I could put it up after, like, I'm done with my report. I could pull it up so that you have it to follow. Actually, let me see what I can do here. Hang on.
Okay. I'm up in the mountains, so my electronic capabilities are somewhat limited.
Hey, you made it. That's what counts these days, is that we have quorum.
Yep, it's coming to you through Starlink.
Oh, okay, Gary, I think I'll be able, I've got the agenda up. I can toggle back and forth. So
okay, I won't pop back and forth, that way I can.
Perfect. There's Nick.
Nick's here. Yeah, good. So Brandy, Nick, Samuel, that's three. I thought I saw Marshall a little bit ago.
Four. Yeah, Marshall's here. Sam. So we've got Marshall, okay. Sam, Gary, Nick. Hi, Nick. Brandy, so we've got five, so we've got our quorum.
So we're
obviously
okay.
It's not time to start yet, but
yeah.
Thanks, Nick. since it's 9 o'clock now, Nick, once you have your sound capabilities up and working, let us know when we can get started.
Here's Goodman. I'm able to hear now. Sorry about that.
Excellent. We can hear you too.
Awesome.
All right, Gary. So by my calculations, we do have quorum and it is 9:01. So I will turn it over to you for whenever you would like to start.
Okay. You want to pop the agenda up? You want me to go
over and get that right now as well? Yeah.
Okay. Little tiny agenda. See if I can find a way to make it big enough I can read it.
How's that? Is that better?
Yes. All right. So let's get started. That'll be fine if we can. Can I adjust it back up there?
Oh, you want to go up to the top?
Yeah, just kind of walk down through it, I think. All right. So I'd like to welcome you to the August 19th, 2022 meeting of the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board. We have a quorum, so we're able to work today, which is a magical thing. Everybody's healthy, pretty much, at least as close as we're going to get for people our age and the way we live and all that sort of thing. So let's move down just a little bit. I'm not sure if I can move it. Okay. So let's do a Pledge of Allegiance to our policy. If you'll join me, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for doing that.
So now, is your roll call of board members, Gary?
Yes, I was just trying to get where I could see it. So in the board members, Gary Begley is here, Brandy Flores.
Here.
Thank you. Nick Goodman.
Present.
Trista Guzman Glover.
Here.
Good. Nice to see you. Marshall Knox.
Present.
Hey, Marshall. Samuel Adeau.
Here.
Chase Turrentine. Evidently not here today, but we still have our quorum, so we're okay. All right. So can we have a roll call of the staff that's present, please?
Frank McGauley.
Present.
Kelly Shepherd.
Present.
Bruce Bueno.
Present.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
Isabella Neal.
Present.
And then Heather Santabria, present. And also is our legal counsel present, Mona Baskin.
I happen to know she's in the conference room.
Present. Good morning, all.
There we go. Mona, hi, nice to see you. At least to hear you.
Good to see. Oh, you can't see me?
No.
No, oh, that's okay.
Well, I'm here. I'm here in the board conference room with Rosa, with Ms. Rodriguez. And yes, we're all present over here. Good morning.
Wonderful. We all feel safer knowing you're here. All right, so now we'll move on a little bit to the business discussion, consideration, possible action, approval of regular board minutes from July 15th, 2022. I have to abstain from that as I wasn't present.
Goodman has to abstain too. I wasn't present.
Does that mean that we do not have quorum to approve the minutes?
I was going to ask the same thing.
That is exactly what that means. So we can table the minutes to next month.
All right, let's do that.
Or actually, wait a minute. And yeah, that is what we're going to have to do. Sorry, because we only have four.
Yeah, we have to have five. Absolutely. Yep. All right, well, that'll be next month. That'll be fun to do that twice. All right, conflicts of interest. It'd be difficult to have conflict of interest in this agenda. I don't appear to have any, which is just amazing. Anyone else?
No conflict for me.
Yeah, look what sensitive people we are. We don't do anything to anybody. We don't have any conflicts. I think it is the first time in at least 2 years that we're in that situation. So that's great progress. All right, now let's move to the executive director report. And it is a big one with a lot of really interesting things in it. So Frank, would you help us with that?
Absolutely. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I am very happy and pleased to be here with you again this morning. And I am even more pleased that and I think that's very exciting. I do have lots of information to share with you, but as we get to having a better cadence of meetings on a consistent basis, meaning monthly, I believe that that information will become more streamlined and I will be able to present that information to you more efficiently and quickly. There is a copy of this presentation available to you, each of you, in the board files. So if you review it again after the fact, or you have any questions, as always, I am very happy to answer those questions for you. So I'm going to start with the financial report, the June 2022 revenue versus expenditures. So on the cosmetology side, we ended the month with $148,317 in net revenue. And on the barbering side, we had a net revenue of $11,132. That is the final month of the separate budgets for the two organizations, and the budgets were combined effective July 1st. And unfortunately, on a month-to-month basis, I should be able to have, as an example, at this point, I should have had July's financials for you, but unfortunately, we received an email from Central Services on Monday that they had some hiccups in closeout, and because the budget was passed so late in the year that they just did not, they're not in a place where they were able to provide us July financials yet. However, we do have complete fiscal 2022 revenues versus expenditures. Our net revenue, meaning we continue to take in more than we spend, but that is going to likely change this year. So I don't want folks to get too excited about fiscal 22 numbers, because we are making and have made some adjustments, and we will have additional expenditures this year, which I will discuss a little bit later in this presentation. So we ended state fiscal year 2022 with a cosmetology net revenue of $2.3 million. And on the barbering side, a little over $86,588. I have placed full copies of those financial statement summaries in the board files for you as well, should you like to look more closely at the revenue versus expenses. This is just the second month that I have begun presenting this information to you. And just as I shared last month, I would be happy to provide more information or less information within this board report, and I'm completely open to feedback to what that looks like. I figured a snapshot of revenue versus expenses would be key in the presentation, and then you could dive deeper if you needed to. Next, a little bit, I don't have any updated information on the board membership or new appointments. Just my report is the same as it was last month, in that it was shared with us last month that there was one additional member that was in background check, and that they are actively conducting interviews for the ninth and final member. I do think it's fair to say that they are struggling with finding those two members, because they are industry-specific individuals, meaning one of them must be a licensed barber and one of them must be a licensed cosmetologist. So I do think they are struggling, but I am hopeful that the one that is on background check will come to fruition in the coming days and weeks, because any number more board members we have, the easier it is to conduct a consistent monthly business. I do have one minor staffing update, not minor. I don't know why I said the word minor. I have one huge staffing update this month, and that is the introduction of our new deputy director, Kelly Shepherd. Kelly Shepherd, I had the great fortune of working with in my prior role at DES. though Kelly never worked directly for me, she provided a tremendous amount of support to my large team at DES in developing strategies, in developing best practices, in developing process improvements for our teams. She has been here, this is the last day of her first 2 weeks, and she has already, I'm super impressed, is asking the right questions, is really looking at things and bringing another set of eyes, another fresh set of eyes to the team to really start honing in on how it is we can move from quantity to quality. And that's what I'm really focused on at this point, is really how do we get to a quality product? How do we provide quality customer service? And how ultimately does this organization become the best 90/10 organization in the state of Arizona? And I just realized I'm not advancing my slides. I apologize. So there's Miss Kelly. Miss Kelly is in the conference room with the rest of the team at the office this morning. Welcome, Kelly. I'm very excited to have you on board and looking forward to the months in front of us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Nice to meet you all.
Yeah, we're glad you're here.
So next, I want to provide you some update on the practical written practical examinations. As of last Friday, I received weekly updates from Prometric on our testing data, and I'm very excited to tell you that since we launched the written practical examinations with PCS and Prometric, and again, it's a week old, but I'm very excited to share that we have had 1,829 candidates test. We have 719 who have scheduled their test, and we have an additional 1,282 candidates that have been approved, but they themselves have not yet scheduled their examinations. We were a little bit worried about testing center, the Phoenix Prometric Testing Center's capacity to be able to handle the volume that was coming in. There was about 10 days in June where they were slammed, but that has since fallen off, and there are no longer any concerns. And as a matter of fact, I myself went to the Phoenix Prometric testing site 2 weeks ago now to take the investigator certification course, and I was one of four people in there on a Monday morning. So I think we are in a good place. I am not seeing or hearing of any difficulties with individuals scheduling their examinations or taking their examinations. On the slide for you, I do have, and I'm not going to go into the details of the candidates that have tested their the pass count, the fail count, and what that percentage is. Now, you're likely honing in on those two barber numbers. Well, first of all, I would say those numbers are very low. So I think from a statistical analysis and a pass percentage rate, I'm not looking too deep into that quite yet, because it is just the numbers are low, right? So that said, what we have heard, and this is a problem that has been identified, and it actually initially came to me by way of Gary, somebody that Gary works with in the school community, that the written practical examinations are not being offered in any other language than English. We do know that the barber community in Arizona is a heavy Spanish-speaking community, and therefore we could see that fail rate being as high as it is, the pass rate being as low as it is, because of a language barrier. As a result, that issue of not offering the test in Spanish and it being brought to my attention, in partnership with NIC, I have submitted a request for all of Arizona's written practical examinations be translated to Spanish. NIC was not able to provide me with a timeline yet, but they did indicate that more and more states are having that issue similar to Arizona. and they would anticipate, and my hunch is that after they get done hosting the conference at the beginning of October, they will be able to start looking at what that looks like. So I'm hopeful that by the end of this calendar year, we will have those written practical examinations translated into Spanish, but they would not commit to a timeline with me at this point. But the request has been submitted. And of course, I will continue to update the board as I have more information.
Frank, real quick question. So for those, I know that's a concerning number. Is that like, do we have historical data from maybe Bruce when the Barber Board was on its own of what pass rates were like?
I'm going to say one more thing on this, and then Mr. Bueno, I will have you kind of specifically hone in on Member Guzman's question. The other thing that is transitionary here is that we used to, at these two barber examinations that are on here, used to be offered in person in the building, and were offered in person in the building in May and June. And so the transition to a computer-based test, I think, is one thing, and then the Spanish is the second piece. But then Bruce, Mr. Bueno, if you can go ahead and take Member Guzman's question.
Yes, no problem. Bruce Bueno here. This, you know, Frank pretty much explained, you know, what the situation is here from prior years. I would say the pass rate is well above 80%. And I would have to do some digging to get some actual, you know, numbers for that. But we very rarely had that many fails. So this is a language barrier, and this is just a whole new test that they're not used to. And, I think it's just going to be a little curve that they got to figure out here, but I don't see a problem here.
Thank you. I knew that was I knew in COVID, Bruce, you and I worked a lot together, and yeah, I knew that there were a lot of issues with testing. So it was just a little surprising to me, but I appreciate that you guys are working on it.
Yeah.
Before we go to Member Ledoux, please, board members and even staff members, please be sure to identify yourself when speaking. We are virtual, and the recording and all of that, it makes our lives just a little bit easier. So Member Ledoux, you have a question?
Yes, this is Board Member Ledoux. I know that you just mentioned a little bit earlier about how there was a switch to more computer-based testing. Could it be possible that some of these failure rates are also due to technological illiteracy or unfamiliarity with how the computer test works for some of the more rural or older patrons?
Member Ledoux, I think that is certainly a possibility. I think we could anecdotally say that today. I don't think that we could objectively say that yet, but we can certainly add that to our list of things for our conversations with Prometric and PCS as we continue to march down the path of this written practical examination work.
All right, that's good. I just wanted to put that on your radar as well, because that could be a part of the issue.
I would agree. And we actually find that as an issue on the licensing side as well, interestingly enough, and people's ability to obtain their license through electronic means. So the next thing I do want to update everyone on is the salon licensing. So I know that multiple board members brought to my attention, actually, I think it was in my interview, that we were very far behind on issuing salon licenses. And I am very, very, very excited to share with you and proud of my team, because I am here to say to you that we are officially current on issuing salon licenses. And what I mean by that is that we are in a less than 21 day turnaround time on issuing salon licenses. So here's just some quick numbers. Since May 2nd of 2022, we have processed 1,302 salon application requests. Of that, 830 licenses have been issued, and 472 of those had incomplete applications. And I'm excited. As of the end of the day yesterday, we are issuing, or actually I shouldn't say issuing, we are processing requests from August 1st. So we're at like, we're at 19 days, but we are under the 21 day definition of current. And I am very, very, very proud of this team for their focus, their desire, and that really just in the 4.5 months that I have been here, we went from being 18 weeks behind to being less than 3 weeks out on those. That team needed a little encouragement, a little push, and we really were able to really, we've knocked that one out of the park, and I'm very proud of them. And all while dealing with the change of having a new leader in the organization. So it's really a huge feat. So I think the big update this month on this is everything is current. Our duplicate processing is current. Our check and money order returns is current. Our certifications are current. Our reactivations are current. Our payment batching is current. Our salon licensing is current. And our new exam licensing is current. I'm going to, at this point, I plan to keep this as just a spot each month within my report to say whether we are current or not and give you all the opportunity. But if we continue to remain current on these items, it's just, I'm going to hit it quick and go. And we'll just keep moving on. If something goes off the rails and we need to address it, I will share that with the board here. There is one thing that I want to discuss that happened in the last month for the new exam licensing. Last month, I mentioned that the barber side was piloting a new examination process. The pilot process worked so well over the last month that we have launched this process for all practical examinations approvals. Therefore, graduating students will now apply directly with Professional Credentialing Services first, and then will be approved to take their tests for both their practical and theory examinations automatically. When the student passes both of their tests and has their passing score results, they will then be able to submit their application to the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board. An applicant must wait until they have their passing scores to apply and they will not be able to pre-apply. Ultimately, what I'm getting at here is we were touching these applications two times, which was a slowdown in the process two times. So it looks like we're going to, based on the pilot, and it was taking us 6 weeks from the time that they would submit for approval to the time that an individual took the test and we received those scores. Now we can reduce the timeliness of that probably down to a few days, to be perfectly candid. As a matter of fact, Miss Susie was just messaging me Wednesday telling me that she was licensing people who had took their exams on Monday. Right? So that's huge. Okay. And now, granted, we've taken some steps out of that and it's incumbent on the individual to do that, but it's really balancing the process, it's eliminating rework, and it's eliminating waste in the process, and it seems to be working really well. Now, same as any change that we make, something might come up 4 weeks from now, and we might need to adjust, and we will do that. But at this point, we seem to be managing this process quite well. This process, again, reduces the burden on the student and staff, ultimately reducing the processing time for that license. We sent communication to all schools. We sent proactive communication to all schools on August 12th, informing them of this update. And PCS was also sending an email update as well. So that we're just kind of, one of my large goals when I came to this organization was doing proactive communication about the changes that we are making. And so I'm very committed to ensuring that we continue to communicate with folks as these changes move down the path. Real quick on an IT update. I shared last month the future state of the Thentia cloud-based licensing system. This will be a combined system for licensing, compliance, and payments related to those functions. As of that time, as of last month's board meeting, we had not yet signed the scope of work. I'm happy to share with you today that that scope of work was signed on July 22nd, so literally 3 days after the last board meeting. We received the project justification approval from ADOA Asset on August 4th, and we had our Thentia project kickoff meeting with Ray, our IT project guy, and myself on, and Kelly was able to join us as well. We had that kickoff meeting on Tuesday. They have had to make some adjustments, meaning Thentia has had to make some adjustments in the way they are going to launch this product in the state of Arizona, because they are doing it for, I believe it's 28 boards and commissions. And so I think they're quickly realizing, wow, this is going to be a lot. So they're making some internal adjustments on their process, but they are still very committed to us going live by July of 2023. So we're going to start counting down here. We're excited to work with them. We're excited to have a consolidated IT system. And I think it's going to not only help our process, but it's going to help our customer service as well. I know that the board is very eager on rules, and might be fair to say that a member or two have a little bit of heartburn about where we might be at on the rules process. So I understand historically that the board has really driven the drafting of new rules, that staff would come into a meeting and literally drop reams of paper into the lap of board members. And I'm here to tell you that that is not my intention. My intention is to take your vision, which you all clearly articulated in the April board meeting, my first board meeting, day five, really about reducing the number of rules, combining barber and cosmetology rules where we can, reviewing the fees and ensuring that the fees, the associated fees for the work that we do are appropriate for the business that we're doing. In other words, not charging more than we need to process that licensing request. So I'm very happy to share with you that we have taken that vision and we continue to meet on a weekly basis as staff. And our assistant attorney general is there, and Ray is facilitating those conversations. And every week we're going through a section of rules and determining where we can combine and consolidate cosmetology and barber language. If we can't consolidate it, why we can't consolidate it, and how do we identify a sub category or a sub bullet within the rules. Ultimately, I think we are going to eliminate a lot of rules, and that's just by the nature of consolidating two sets of rules. So I feel, I get that you feel that you may feel strung along over the last 3 months on this rules stuff, but we are committed and we are meeting. But my goal is that we are presenting to the board, well, actually first it would be the rules subcommittee, a draft set of rules that are 90% of the way there. I want to hand you guys something to read and review and provide us feedback on. We incorporate feedback and then we take it to the full board for review and approval to then go through the rule review process. So I wanted just to clarify verbally out loud with all board members today that that's what we are doing. And that's where we are at. I'm confident that you will be pleased with the progress that has been made when I'm able to really hand you something of value. I don't believe it is a board member's role to draft rules. I think it is a board member's role to set the vision for what you want staff to be able to accomplish. And that is what you did in April. And that is how we're taking it to this point. So we have also had I initially engaged a conversation with Jeannie Hahn last week, as a matter of fact, about what she would like from us to start drafting those rules. It was actually kind of a comical virtual meeting. I was at the office, Ray was at home, Jeannie was at home. I have hearing loss and hearing aids. Jeannie has hearing aids and hearing loss. And Jeannie and I didn't understand each other and we couldn't hear Ray. So it was just the funniest calamity of a meeting virtually. So we fumbled through that meeting a little bit, had some good laughs, and really settled on having an in-person meeting on September 8th to really start laying the groundwork so that I can give you all a much better timeline in September for the direction that we are headed. Do I have any question from members of the board on that?
No, it sounds like progress. It's moving forward for sure, and you've got good people to work with. We'll be anxious to see the results. Yep. Do you agree, Brandy?
I know I did chat with Brandy about this back in June as well. So she wasn't concerned at that point. So, but obviously I don't want to speak for her now because she appears to be muted. So my last item is I received feedback from one of the board members that they would like to see in each board presentation when the next six meetings are, so that everybody is clear and can get it on their calendars, and that would just help everybody. So here you go. Here are your next six meetings. Our next meeting will be September 16th at 9 a.m. I fully expect that one to be in person at the office. We are going to have a lot of cases to hear, well, potentially a lot of cases to hear in September. And we're just continuing. We want to continue to make progress on those and catch those up. I suspect it's probably still going to be another 6 months until we're fully caught up on hearing cases, but we're just going to continue to plug along and do the best that we can on all of those. As has become practice since I started, we are also going to have a quick board training with our Assistant Attorney General, Mona Baskin, who's going to talk to us about what is a meeting. Member Guzman.
Sorry, Member Guzman here, Guzman Glover. If we know ahead of time that we're not going to be at a meeting, would you prefer us to tell you now, or would you prefer us to just email when you send out the email?
So actually, it would be good for me to know now, but I would prefer for you to send me an email to tell me.
No, that's perfect. I planned on doing that definitely, but I just didn't know if it was easier for you if we waited, or if flooding your inbox beforehand was worse.
I'd rather it now.
This is Goodman. I just don't think we can finish that report with so many great accomplishments and advances without noting that that's amazing to see how much testing's happening, how much we're moving forward on licensing. It is remarkable, and you've set quite a high bar for the team, because how do you make such major improvements going forward when so much has already been accomplished? But great work to you, the team, and everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Totally. Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate that. And I think that where we have to transition, and I've been clear with the team, where we're going to transition is that we've been very focused on the timeliness, right? That's where it's been getting all of this cut up. Now the hard work really does begin, and we have to address the quality of that work now. And that's where we're working on making that transition now. And as we make that transition, it really becomes all about identifying that process, looking at that process, and how do we improve it? And that's, I'm a firm believer in that, and that's how we're going to move on. So Ms. Baskin, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Magali. Good morning, board members. This is Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, and I have a very short training session on what is a meeting, and I'm actually going to be able to address Ms. Guzman Glover's request regarding how does she notify the executive director regarding an absence. So that is included. This will be a review for the veteran board members, but the whole purpose of this training is just as a general reminder to the board that board meetings occur for basically two reasons. One, to engage the public and to have an open discussion of all the issues that are before the board, and including the two functions of the board, which are to regulate the profession and to license individuals. And also to underscore the importance of that the board makes decisions as a group, discussing the issues together. So what is a board meeting? As the first slide states, where do we look? Mr. Magali is used to this, this answer from me on all of his questions. What does the statute say? So that's where we look. And Arizona is really lucky because we have a really broad definition of what a meeting is. And I'm not going to read it, but what it permits is in person or through technological devices of a quorum of the board members to discuss, propose, or take legal action, including deliberation. So this definition was very, very helpful because our board, our boards in the state of Arizona were poised when the pandemic hit to transition to meetings by electronic means, whereas other states across the country did not have this in their statutes. They had to have kind of a transition through either rules, emergency statutes, or executive orders. So Arizona was one was really on the cutting edge. Now, the next slide is going to talk about the quorum requirements. And as we had this morning, we had a lot of people were present, and this occurs when we are electronically present and when we are present in person. Pursuant to the statute, the board cannot start a meeting until we have a quorum present and until the time that is agendized for the meeting to start comes. So if we're all ready and it's 10 minutes early, which everybody just has to sit and wait, we cannot discuss board business until the meeting starts. And I think that the board is really good about this. Now, the reverse also applies. So for example, let's say, you know, it's a 9 o'clock meeting and we know that a board member is on their way, they're stuck in traffic or whatever. And, you know, this often happens. This has happened with my other boards really recently. And in that case, what the board chair would do is announce the meeting. Our meeting is scheduled to start at 9 a.m. We're awaiting the arrival of a board member so that we can have quorum to conduct business. So all this slide just underscores the requirement that you have to start on time and you have to have a quorum. All right. And then the next slide talks about electronic communications. And electronic communications under the statutes is very broad. And it can include text messages, emails, group chats, group phone calls. And what we don't want to happen is any type of electronic communications where board members propose action, legal action, that would be a violation of the open meeting law. And it can happen, and it can happen inadvertently. However, our next slide will talk about best practices. And what Mr. Magali has done is he cautions the board in his when he sends out an email, and he uses the cautionary language to not communicate, to not press all, and he uses the blind copy feature on the emails to prevent the inadvertent group response, which can happen. So best practices, just to be cognizant that emails, group texts could potentially constitute a meeting. If there's any communications that you have with Mr. Magali, those can be, you know, he's very accessible by phone or a quick email. And just be aware that all email communications are public records. So those are just some definite best practices. As far as meetings open to the public, again, this is so everybody is that the public knows that there is going to be a board meeting. And the purpose of the agenda is to let the public know what items are on the agenda. Now, the board agenda that this board uses is meets definite beyond best practice. It's very specific. It's very detailed. It includes a clear roadmap to the cases that the board's going to consider It has correct legal references to the different agenda items. So if an individual of the public was able to pick up the agenda, they would be able to go through it and read it and understand what the board is going, what business the board is going to be conducting. So turning to the next slide, okay, this addresses the issue of the taking of the minutes and the recording. According to our statutes, all public bodies shall provide for the taking of written minutes or recording of all the meetings, including executive sessions. Now, obviously, executive sessions, those are confidential. Those are not public. Executive session minutes are treated confidentially. They're treated differently. Maybe that could be the source of another training. But as far as for the board minutes in this case, in our case, those are public. They're up on the website, and I included what needs to be in those in the board minutes. So if we didn't have written minutes, all we would have to rely on would be a recording. So that underscores the importance of all board members identifying themselves before they speak. And as we have included in our informal interview scripts, we need to make sure that we get the names of individuals who are present and presenting their cases and what they're going to be stating to the board. So I think that the board does a very good job on this as far as creating a record. I know that Mr. McGauley is, you know, constantly giving reminders. And again, the board had a lot of practice during the pandemic when we did have electronic meetings. So turning to the next slide, the meeting recording and minutes. So what happens to those? Well, the what the board staff does, what Mr. McGauley has done, is to make sure that the meeting recording is posted on the website within 3 business days after the meeting. And this is, again, pursuant to statute. And because of the recording and because of that requirement, it's so important to speak clearly, identify yourself before speaking, and that just ensures that we make a clear record of the proceeding so that down the road, it could be even a year. It could be, you know, next month, somebody, a member of the public will want to know, well, what was the board's discussion on that issue? And they can go directly to the recording. They can understand what the full discussion was and who made statements. Turning to the next slide, this deals with, again, best practices that the board meeting doesn't commence until we have a quorum. And the executive director, I know, will send out an email quorum call so that board members can confirm their attendance. And board member attendance is assumed unless the executive director is timely advised otherwise. Mr. McGauley, do you want to jump in and add anything to this as far as the quorum call and no, how?
I try to make sure. The only thing I was going to add to that is I try to get that out really like that 2-week mark before the meeting, which I know it's 2 weeks before, but we really, staff really ramp up preparation for board meetings in those 2 weeks prior to the meeting. And so if for some reason there's going to be a known quorum issue at that meeting, I'd rather us, to be perfectly candid, we have a lot of other things we could be spending our time on than preparing for a board meeting that's not going to happen. So I do try to get that quorum call out. And again, I think as we have more board members appointed, the quorum issue becomes less and less. But I do appreciate everybody's response on that quorum call.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McGauley. Again, there is no discussion of board business either prior to or after the board meeting has ended. And the role of the board chair, that would be Chair Bagley, and he knows this well. He announces the time the meeting is started and the time that the meeting is adjourned. And then it's very important to announce the time If there is an executive session, the board votes to go into an executive session, the time that the board comes out of executive session. And then obviously, if there is a recess, we would need to be noting those times on the, so those are written in the minutes and they should be noted on the audio. And then our last page regarding what are best practices. We have the scripts that the board has had. We've made some updates to those board scripts and hopefully they're simple, they're easy to follow, and they make sense. We want to know what the public wants to know is what decision did the board make? Who made the motion? Who seconded the motion? And what kind of discussion was there? And I think this board does a great job of having rich discussions and open and honest discussions. So the board is satisfying that criteria. We want to make, again, a clear and accurate record regarding how each member voted. So when there is a vote, and let's say it is unanimous and we're doing our voice votes, the board chair would, again, as we went over last month, would need to make the statement, motion passes unanimously. If it doesn't pass unanimously, then the board chair could summarize and say, motion passes 5-1, and note the dissenting board member. And if there, and if we are electronically on, where we're all on the phone or on a meeting, as this today, if there's any lack of clarity, then at that time the board chair could maybe take a roll call vote. And finally, we want to include the name of the individuals that are present and addressing the board so that we can know who was present at the board meeting and what their statements were. So that concludes the board training on what is a meeting. Does anybody have any questions at this point?
I was just going to add one thing to that, Ms. Baskin, about the voting, and because I know Gary, you were not here last month. We did transition back to the voice voting rather than roll call voting on everything, just so you are aware. And it actually sped up the meeting pretty significantly to be able to do that. I think we can attempt today because we have just four items, I think it is, to vote on, five items maybe it is, to vote on today. We can attempt to do that, those voice votes in today's meeting. If it gets a little bit squirrely or you are a little uncomfortable, Gary, obviously you have the discretion to go back to roll call voting, but I do think we can attempt it, the voice vote in today's virtual meeting. Sure.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ms. Baskin. All right, so we're up to the complaint reviews. All right, we're making good progress. Step 1A is awfully pleasant, so there's nothing in there. All right, so in B's, now are we still using staff to call these out, Frank?
Yes, Ms. Rodriguez.
Using that staff member, yeah. Okay, good. All right, can we start that review, please?
Yes, Rosa Rodriguez, compliance supervisor. Step 1A, recommended applications denials. If we have none. Step 1B, recommended dismissals. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1B, recommended dismissals, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions.
Okay, everyone's had an opportunity to review their packets. Do we have a motion?
Hi, Mr. Chairman. This is Brandy Flores. I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Goodman, second.
All right. Now, in the process you're doing now, are we just doing a voice vote or are we calling people out?
So after the motion and the second, you would ask if there's any discussion.
All right. Do we have any discussion on these topics? Hearing no request for discussion, we can vote now.
So you would say all in favor?
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, hearing no opposition, this passes unanimously.
Step 1C, recommended non-disciplinary letters of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1C, recommended non-disciplinary letters of concern, have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions.
Again, I know the board's had an opportunity to review these through their packets. Do we have a motion regarding these items?
Guzman Glover moves that we accept staff recommendations in Step 1C.
Member LeDoux second.
Marshall Mack seconded.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Yeah, hearing no opposition, this matter passes unanimously. D, please.
Step 1D, recommended informal interviews with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1D, recommended informal interview or with negotiation terms, have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions.
All right, do we have any discussion on any of the items in D? Do we have a motion regarding these items?
Board member LeDoux moves to move forward with staff recommendations.
Guzman Glover seconds.
All right, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, these items pass unanimously. And that brings us down to G. Would you explain that to us, please, Rosa?
Yes. On step one, step 3G, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I would like to ask the board to resend the previous motion to a formal hearing and allow respondent to an informal interview with negotiation terms. Respondent did call on May 9th of 2020 board meeting. Due to technical difficulties, respondent was not able to connect through. So all I'm asking is for it to go back into the informal interview step so that he can attend the September 16 board meeting.
Okay. Do we have any discussion? Do we have a motion regarding this item?
Guzman Glover moves to rescind the motion to formal hearing per staff's recommendations.
Marshall Mack second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Oh, discussion.
Aye. We did discussion as we first got there. If you have additional discussion,
of course, boards can do it how they want, but Usually discussion is after a motion because it's hard to discuss the items of what's being motioned without it being motioned. Could we get a little more texture on the information on her technical difficulties when she reached out and what happened from the board?
Member Goodman, this individual, I believe it's Mr. Vasquez, he called in and he was automatically muted within the Google Meets platform and was unable to get himself unmuted. And I do remember we actually had several of those issues within the May board meeting. We have basically said, because it wasn't just one individual, we basically said, okay, we'll let those four individuals come through the process as they should have in the May meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Okay. So all in favor of this motion, vote aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously you vote to make this change and moving back to a informal.
Step 3G.
Yes, 3G.
Mm-hmm. 96870, 96936, D&K, license number SNT 16158 and SAES 16544. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion to a formal hearing or in the alternative accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as a resolution of the case and accept staff recommendations to dismiss due to lack of evidence to support allegations.
Okay, well, we'll do it in the path that Nick was talking about. Let's, does anyone have a motion first? I think we might need some discussion on this one. This confused me. So it is currently scheduled for a formal hearing, but we want to allow them to accept the staff, previous consent agreement. But in reality, we want to dismiss this for lack of evidence. Is that correct?
This is Rosa Rodriguez. What happened was that this case went to the, you know, the regular process to step two. And this case was supposed to be discussed on the May 9th meeting. And also this was one of the cases that we had technical difficulties. The respondent didn't call in and wasn't able to come through the meeting. And then after, during that day, what happened is that I reviewed the case and found that we did not have enough evidence to assess a civil penalty towards the salon.
Wow, it made it all the way to formal hearing.
And the reason it made it to the formal hearing, Mr. Begley, is because of that technical difficulty in the meeting. I think had we been able to hear this case in May, we would have found there to be lack of evidence. And Rosa, through a quality check process after the fact, before, determined that we not only had a technical difficulty, but the evidence really didn't support that situation. And therefore, that's why we're staff recommendation would be to rescind the motion to formal hearing and dismiss the case.
Okay. Based on this explanation, do we have a motion? No opinion on this case?
I move to accept staff recommendations.
I'll second that. This is Brandy Flores.
Excellent. All right, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Bagley, yeah. Members of the board, this is Mona Baskin. I hate to interrupt, but can I have the maker of the motion and the second please identify themselves for the record prior to
Okay. Vote? I made the motion, Sam.
I did.
Ledoux and Flores.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing no opposition, this motion passes unanimously. Let's look at aye, it looks like.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion to an informal interview with negotiation terms and issue a non-disciplinary of concern. After I went through the inspection summary, the conclusions of law is an inactive license. No, I apologize. Yes, inactive license. And then tools, capes, and gowns not enclosed. And that is according to our board parameters, just to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern instead of to assess the civil penalty.
And that's on case number 97028?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's deal with them separately. Do we have a discussion on case number 97028? Okay, do we have any motions on 97028?
Guzman Glover moves to accept staff recommendations related to case number 97028.
Thank you.
Member Ledoux seconds.
Excellent. Do we have any discussion at this point? All right. So all in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Hearing no opposition. Case number 97028 is changed to accept staff recommendations. Can we look at 97321, please?
Yes, 97321, Salon Blissful Med Spa, license number SCOS 29052, Linda S. Lamoya, license number 10700820, owner. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion to an informal interview with negotiation options and to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern. The establishment was found within an active personal license and wooden stakes, roller strips were not enclosed. And according to board parameters, that is just to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
Okay. Do we have a motion regarding 97321?
Guzman Glover makes a motion to accept staff recommendations related to case number 97321.
Thank you.
Marsh Knox, second.
Excellent. All in favor of this motion, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, case number 97321 is to be changed to reflect staff recommendations for a non-disciplinary letter of concern. All right, what else we got here? Whoa, my favorite part. Surely somebody wants to make a motion.
Member Guzman Glover makes a motion to adjourn the meeting.
You're my favorite.
Before, quick question. This is Member Marshall Knox. I had a quick going through with the in reference to the testing scores for the bartering side of the house. Is it possible, Frank, after the meeting, to give me a call, also with Bruce, just to kind of, I had some input on this, dealing with, seeing as that I am the board member who actually works on, owns a barber college. I just wanted to sit back and get some input and just run some ideas across you guys as far as some possibilities why these numbers could also be low.
Yeah, would it be easier to schedule some time, Mr. Knox?
Yes, that works. That works good, Frank.
Okay, I'll get an email out to you and Bruce, and we'll get some time scheduled.
All right, thank you.
All right, we had an excellent motion on the floor. Do we have a second for it?
Second, Goodman.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to adjourning? Hearing no opposition to adjourning, we unanimously adjourn this meeting at 10:03. Thank you all very much.
63 minutes. Good job, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you all. You did a great job.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Uh-huh. See you in a month.